Welcome to Val America Football Show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is the top supplier in the UK for all your American football needs, helping players and coaches reach their potential since 2007. Check them out at epsports.co.uk. I'm with Tim and Joe today, and we're going to be covering all the news that we have missed during our three-week break, and also talking a little bit about our plans for the podcast going forward. It's great to be back. Boys, how was your break?
Lovely.
It's only been 3 weeks. It feels like a year. It's been ridiculous.
It does feel like a long time. It's crazy, isn't it? Just sort of you get out of the loop and of doing it all. Like when it's such a routine and then you stop it, it feels like such a long length of time. But it's nice to be back.
I was looking through all like the writing down all the trades and whatnot. And I was like, when did we stop recording and what did we last cover? So we've got a couple of plans for the pod going forward, as we mentioned. A couple of things that we're looking to expand into kind of this off-season and moving forward. I'd say our main one's probably YouTube. Craig's got a new fancy PC, so he's got that tech to finally start looking into it. So hopefully Craig, who unfortunately can't be with us this week, can get sorted, and maybe we'll have a YouTube channel going soon, so you'll get to see our lovely faces and start following us on YouTube. We can put out more updates and shorter things there, I'm sure. So if you do have any kind of comments or advice for us moving forward, please do get in touch. We'd appreciate anything. But yeah, we are officially into the off season. A lot of questionable rumours flying about. My favourite one so far is Russell Wilson to the Bears by far. And that really seems to be getting some traction.
Yeah, I've seen a few tweets today about that and how, whether this is true or not, but it was interesting to me. The bookies have stopped taking bets on Russell Wilson to the Bears, and the Bears Super Bowl odds have dropped considerably today. So take that what you will.
That's probably got some legs behind it then. I know a lot of the bookies is to do with people putting bets on, and that's what brings the odds down. But still, that's quite a big thing. If they've got some inside information there, I want to know what it is.
I'm just trying to think, like, the main rumours started, I think, from Russ Wilson kind of wanting, obviously, the O-line to be better. And I think to change kind of how they play games, even though he kind of likes to run his own games, but him and Pete Carroll have been button heads, so he's kind of mentioned he might go to like a competitor. But I mean, I'm thinking this the last 4 years, I could be wrong, but I don't think the Seahawks have won less than 10 games, so it's not like he's in a bad situation. I think definitely if he goes to the Bears, you've got a bit of a curse for quarterbacks. Like if he's thinking, yeah, I'm gonna go to a better team, I'm gonna go to the Bears. Considering what the Bears are going to have to give up for him and the offensive line on the Bears, which isn't fantastic. While I love to see Russ on the Bears, I think it would really shake the entire league up. It would be a very questionable move for him.
We came up with four teams, one of which was the Raiders. And to be honest with you, if he'd have picked the Raiders, that'd be ridiculous because he was looking for a better offensive line. We've cut our two starting guards and traded our starting right tackle. So we've only got a center and a left tackle at the moment. So I think you can count the Raiders off that list anyway.
Yeah, with the Seattle thing, I do feel bad for him. You're right. They've had good records in the last few years, but they've always been that team in the last few years where they get to the playoffs. And I don't know about you, but you just feel as if they have just got that one thing missing that makes them a serious like top four contender. Mm-hmm. And I think he might just be getting sick and tired of that. Like, yeah, it's great getting to the postseason, but not many teams take him too seriously when he gets to that point. You expect him to maybe get to the divisional round as the furthest point they can get to. And they proved it this year against the Rams. You know, a lot of people had the Seahawks to win and the Rams beat them easily, even though the score was quite low. So, you know, it might just be one of those things where he just needs a refresh and almost change of mentality. The Bears would be interesting, very, very interesting. And Adam, I know you'd love him to go there and make them even better.
I mean, my thought process behind it is, let's look, when the Seahawks were last seen as kind of a proper contender was when they had the Legion of Boom. So you're saying the Seahawks have something missing. Most people would kind of look towards the offensive line and go, well, it's obviously offensive line. Look how much Russ has to kind of do with his feet. I saw an interesting comment, and it was like Russ Wilson is one of the highest holding the balls kind of quarterbacks. And he's obviously he moves around a lot in the pocket. He doesn't ever really step up into the pocket. He likes to kind of retreat, which if you're an offensive line would just infuriate you because he must be so difficult to block for. So maybe him going to the Bears and getting a very good defense again, irregardless of, I mean, we'll get a touch on this later. Allen Robinson has been franchise tagged. So that's really big for the Bears because he's an outstanding receiver. If you can put Russell Wilson as a person throwing to him, it's a capable offensive line. And obviously the defense, it depends how much they would have to give up to get Russ. Are they giving up draft picks or are they trading Khalil Mack or something? It could, I mean, we maybe do another Am I Crazy episode, but I think if it happened, it would just be great because I think it would really shit. Like the NFC North would be a bloodbath.
Yeah. Realistically, though, out of 10, how confident are you that Wilson's going to leave?
I honestly don't know because he's never pulled this before. He's never really been known as a diva.
I'd put it at 5. I wouldn't be surprised if he No, I'll put it at, I can't remember the question. I'll put it at 4. I think he's going to stay at Seattle rather than leave. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves.
So you did mention a trade before, Tim, with the Raiders. So between two of your teams here, actually, Trent Brown has gone from the Raiders back to the Patriots where he was all pro or pro bowl, was it?
Yeah.
And that was, so Trent Brown plus a 2021 seventh rounder to the Patriots for a 2021 fifth rounder. So a bit of a pick swap as well. How do you feel about that, Tim? What do you think, Trent Brown is good or bad for you?
It was a salary dump because he was due $14 million this year, but he had no guarantee. Whatever it was, he had no cap hits. We got rid of him, so that's $14 million off the cap. So there's no dead money. He didn't play for us last year, basically. I think he was only in 4 games. So, and he put on a load of weight. He was out of shape. He wasn't committed. So best thing for everyone involved. See ya.
He is a big, big boy.
Yeah.
I showed you that picture of Aaron Donald and he made Aaron Donald look like a small child.
It's true. He's a monster, mate. To be honest with you, he was so good for us in that 1 year he had. I'm pretty chuffed. Like, offensive line is an issue we had last year, and people are getting carried away now. They're saying, "Oh, look, we got some protection. Let's get Cam back in and let's go again." Sort of thing. I don't know about that, but it seems like to be one of those, Tim. I don't know if you feel the same, that it's a good trade all round for everyone involved in a way. I know you guys would like to have seen him perform better and, well, play more, I think is the big thing there. Only, was it 14 games he played over 2 years or something like that?
Something like that. I don't think it was even that many. Yeah. As far as what we got out of him, as in terms of production, it wasn't a great trade to start with, but we were going to cut him anyway. The writing was on the wall. And all we got was a seventh-round pick turned into a fifth-round pick, which is, at the end of the day, better than nothing. We were going to release him, and the Patriots went, "I tell you what, we'll do that for you." There you go.
I'm not sure if you know, Joe. Have you kept the offensive line coach since he's been there? Do you think you'll be able to kind of unlock him again?
To be honest with you, mate, I'm not too clued up on that one. But I'm sure, like, you know, I just think a lot of players, when they feel comfortable, it's sort of when they're the best comes out of them. I'm not saying he was uncomfortable in it at the Raiders, but you know, when you've had a good year at a place in an establishment with these people around you, even just walking back in that building, he's going to feel like his old self. I hope so anyway. And if he can get, you know, even 80% of what he was that year, it'd be excellent trade for us. So I'm hoping that he stays fit and he does that.
I just don't think the Raiders should get a free agent or trade for anyone with a surname Brown. It does not work out well.
Well, you mentioned a salary dump. Just for any listeners who maybe aren't too aware of how kind of all the contracts and the off-season works, there's a salary cap in the NFL. It's set every year, and every team's got to be beneath this cap with players that they are paying. So that's the way it differs to, like, most European sports. This year's different. Normally, the cap goes up every year. I think it was 190 odds last year, but with all the lack of revenue and whatnot, from COVID-19 has actually gone down. It was estimated to be 180, then it was estimated to be 185. Now it's met in the middle at 182.5. But in essence, it means teams that were riding the line of the cap now have just got to do a little bit of finagling. But there are certain teams, mainly the Saints, the Eagles and the Rams, that I think the Saints began close to 100 mil over the cap. I think they're all around between like 30 to 70 mil. The Saints have been cut. We'll go for it, but the Saints have been cutting nearly everyone. But yeah, so you'll see a lot of teams, especially this season, cutting or trading players that maybe are just a bit getting a bit paid too much on their team just because they won't be able to. So free agency is going to be very interesting this year because there's going to be players taking a lot more prove it contracts for 1 year until the salary cap boosts back up next year.
Yeah, and it definitely will boost the backup next year because it's done, as Adam said, as a percentage of revenue. So there's a certain percentage of revenue that's predetermined to go to the players. So because of there was no crowds, there was no concessions, merchandise sales, everything was down. So obviously revenue is down, so player amount goes down. Next year, there's a lot of new TV deals going to get signed. So there's going to be a lot of TV money coming in. So the cap is going to be absolutely huge. And I think smart teams, if they're signing free agents or new contracts, will structure it so it's a lower payment this year and then pay more next year because the cap's going to be much bigger next year.
I mean, to touch on the backloading of contracts, the very big news came out the other day of Dak Prescott. Got re-signed by the Cowboys finally. 4 years, what we got? 4 years, up to 164 mil, 126 mil guaranteed. So huge contract. But the way they've structured it is I think it's like 22.5 mil this year. And then the next 2 years are like around 70-something mil. So they've backloaded it just like you've said. And they've done some weird stuff with like two void years. It's all very confusing, but... Jerry Jones has signed his guy.
Yeah, did you hear what Jerry Jones said? It's something, it's like, if someone could take advantage of me and my money, it'd be the guy sitting next to me on the right, which was Dak, which is a very peculiar way of saying it. But I don't know if that was the exact quote, but it was along them lines. It was a weird one. But now I'm happy for Dak, especially, I mean, after the injury, it's a lot of money after such a horrific injury. However, it's one of those where I think, injury or not, he's earned it. He's been waiting a long time for this. It's big day. I love Dak Prescott. I think he seems a really great guy. And I just think it's a good thing for the Cowboys. There's a lot of jokes going around saying, oh, the Cowboys have signed a deal to not make the Super Bowl for another 4 years. But, you know, that's just all trash talk. I think it's great for him. And yeah, glad he's got it finally, as you say.
So Prescott, when they drafted Prescott, he wasn't the first or second quarterback that they tried to draft that year. The first one that they tried to trade up to get was Paxton Lynch. And then the Raiders actually drafted Connor Cook, who they wanted to take. And after Connor Cook had gone, they actually got Prescott. So he was their third choice.
I mean, yeah, I'm unfortunate they're still dumping a lot of money into that offense. Speaking of someone, I don't think we covered this before, but Dak Prescott, who's often compared to Carson Wentz, the Eagles quarterback. Did we cover this last time?
I think we, what is this, Wentz getting?
Wentz being traded to the Colts.
I don't think we did, no.
So obviously, I don't know how to feel, but Carson Wentz has been traded to the Indianapolis Colts for a 2021 third round pick. And a 2022 second round pick that could go to a first rounder. If Wentz plays 70% of snaps and they make the playoffs, or Wentz just plays 75% of the snaps. So overall, I think it's a decent trade for everyone. Wentz wasn't going to play another snap in Philadelphia. That much was clear. So we had to get rid of him. There was a lot of kind of, oh yeah, the Bears and the Colts are both offering so much for it. And eventually it's come down to a bit less than what everyone was expecting. But Eagles have got some return for it. And we've got Jalen Hurts, who I'm a big fan of, to look at this year. Colts get Frank Reich and Wentz back. There's also talk of them trading for Zach Ertz as well. But yeah, I think it's a bit of a win-win-win-win because the Colts get a quarterback. Wentz gets a fresh environment with a head coach he really likes, and the Eagles get some recompensation for it.
And also, I think you get a lot of room on the cap space as well, because you have Jalen Hurts on a rookie contract. Carson Wentz signed that huge contract just a couple of years ago, isn't it? So
not this year. I think this year we've got something like 33 dead money with him,
which okay.
is huge.
Yeah.
But I think this year everyone's kind of acknowledged you've got a rookie quarterback you've not seen, or a second-year quarterback you've not seen too much. The way I think about it is we're not full rebuild. I think we could still compete, especially in our division. But I'm happy if we take this year to kind of see what we've got.
Yeah,
we've got a new head coach as well. So there's pretty much all our coaching staff except for our offensive line coach has changed. So a lot of change. But yeah, there's a chance we're going to get a first rounder out of it as well next year. So I'm happy to roll with Jalen Hurts. He's really exciting.
Yeah, for the Colts as well, I think it's tough. You know, that Wentz admittedly last year was dreadful. There's no other word for it. He was poor. But he has shown that he's got it in him. And as you say, if anyone's going to be able to get out of him again, it's going to be Reich. So for me, for what his potential is and what his ceiling is, right now, it's probably a high price from what you've seen in the last year or so. But for what he could be, this could become a really, really good deal for the Colts. But it's difficult because, obviously, for the Eagles, he was a quarterback that they sort of just wanted to get rid of. So you're right, Adam. It's a win-win-win, really. And if he really goes off for the Colts, it could be even better for them.
Yeah, and yeah, like you said, it could be that Wentz has truly just lost it. And if he goes over to the Colts and they just kind of figure, oh, yeah, he's actually just lost them. He's not got the touch anymore. We don't get a first rounder, but we got a bit of something for a quarterback that's essentially dead in the water. If he does smash it, great. I do like the Colts. If there's a team that Wentz could have gone to, it would have been the Colts or Bears for me. And if he does really well, we get a first rounder out of it.
Yeah.
The other trade out of the three that I've got down here, it's a lot of a different situation. So Titans first rounder last year, Isaiah Wilson, the offensive tackle. If you've not kind of followed the news about him, he's just a bit of a, I think is to clarify, his Twitter handle or Instagram handle is like lazy, and it bloody well shows. He's been absolutely, I think he played like one or two games for Titans. He doesn't try, it looks like. And he was just trying to get out of the Titans after being a first-round pick. He's making money. But they've traded him off to the Dolphins. They're swapping Isaiah Wilson and a 2022 seventh-round pick to the Dolphins for a 2021 seventh-round pick. So very easy pickup for the Dolphins, I think. They could, if they can turn him around, that's an absolutely huge win for them. But the Titans just needed to get rid of him, really. He wasn't going to do anything there.
It's no lose for the Dolphins, is it? They cut him after training camp. They've not lost anything.
No. It's great. It's just taking a punt on the first rounder.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it at all. I just hope he doesn't cause much disruption. And you know that if he does, Flores would kick him out as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, hopefully he decides to, you know, I don't want to sound like moany, but, you know, he's in a privileged position that a lot of people would love to be in. Like, I'd like to see him put in the effort and just give it a real good go. It might have just been the organisation in Tennessee. You know, this will show if it is or not. But yeah, hopefully he... I say hopefully. If he turns out, it would be nice, but not too good for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't want him doing well.
No.
Right. So probably the biggest news that broke since we've been away... was JJ Watt. So obviously we all looked at him going to Steelers, going to the Packers, going to a real competitor. He's gone to the Cardinals. I like it. The Cardinals D-line is now pretty ferocious. I think the only person in however many years who's got more sacks than JJ Watt is Chandler Jones on the other side of the line from him. 2 years, $31 million. It's a lot of money for, I mean, it's JJ Watt. He's had defensive player of the year two times. He's a great player, great leader. It's especially with the Cardinals. They've released Patrick Peterson as well, who's maybe their defensive kind of spirit and heart for the past couple of years. They replaced him with someone who's maybe a bit more charismatic and driven. But yeah, I think that's a great pickup for a playoff contender. Just a very Russell Wilson probably wants to lead the division now.
Yeah, he's gonna get hammered, isn't he? But JJ, it's a tough one, this, because we were saying how we thought he was going to go away and want to go and get a ring. Cardinals, as we know, they're a team that are definitely on the up and they're improving year on year. In those 2 years, though, the draft still needs to come and everything like that. Do they have a realistic chance of making the Super Bowl in the next 2 years? That's my thought process, and I don't think they do. I think JJ, with the 2 year contract, obviously he's coming towards the end of his career, whatever. Has he gone to try and win, or has he just gone? But I don't know. I don't know what he's gone for, to be honest with you. But it's not to win a ring, I don't think.
It could. The only thing in their way, I think, is their division just being so competitive. Yeah. But I'm trying to think. So the 49ers are looking like Garoppolo is going to go. Ironically, back to the Patriots. We'll touch on that in a second. The Rams are just trading first round picks for better players, and they always over exceed my expectations. I just always kind of put them down a bit, and then they made the divisional rounds this year, and then the Seahawks are still a bit up in the air with depending on what Russ does, but. Yeah, it's a rough division, but I absolutely believe I think I had the Cardinals winning last year. But yeah, it's like you said, is he going for the money or is he actually going? Because he said he wanted the ring, but is it 31 mil's a lot of money for him?
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are still rebuilding. They were only 8-8 last year. It wasn't like they set the world on fire. So I expected him to go to someone that had a better chance in the short term, because he's old and he's injury prone, so he's not got that many years left. But I think the Cardinals are somewhere players like to go. I was on the Clemson press conference today, and the usual bland questions people ask players are, what team would you want to play for? They always say, oh, I don't care who I play for, it's just a privilege to play. Travis Etienne, the running back, when asked that, said, Arizona Cardinals. And that was his answer. He wanted to play for the Cardinals. So players want to go to the Cardinals for whatever reason. I can't see it myself.
You got to respect it, though. Like, if I was a player, I'd be going, yeah, I want to play for the team I grew up supporting and that I love. But if I get drafted by another team, I'm still going to play my heart out. I mean, that's the business of the game, isn't it?
Yeah. It just was a weird answer.
Yeah. You just see, because JJ didn't want any spoilers or kind of anyone to have any inside information of where he was going, he got like five different friends to all buy five different like t-shirts and hats for each of the five teams he was considering, so that there no one could like kind of see the invoice and see, oh, JJ Watt's bought an Arizona Cardinals t-shirt. So he got all his mates to buy him the merch and then just send him it. And then he obviously broke it on his own Twitter with him lifting some weights in Cardinals gear. I thought that was a well good move.
So JJ Watt, come at me, whatever, but JJ Watt's a great player. I'm no denying that. But if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, does it actually make a sound? If JJ Watt doesn't have a camera with him, does anything actually happen? Everything he does is on camera. There's never a thing he ever does. Oh, look at JJ Watt. He spends time after practice shaking hands and signing autographs. How do we know? Because he's got a film crew with him doing it. He annoys me.
I had this argument with my girlfriend, but we were talking about Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and I was like, everything he does is just this perfect PR machine. Obviously, I said everything's got a camera, all these amazingly lovely, admittedly, things he does. Like, but then I'm going, like, he is just this amazing person. All this, just as JJ Watt is, obviously, with the whole hurricane thing. He does all these amazing things, and there's no way you can go, this guy's a bad person. They're like, why have you got to record everything you do?
It's like the mates who film themselves giving pissed off the homeless people. And it's just like, well, you know, you've just done that for the camera. Like, it's a good deed, don't get me wrong, but it sort of cancels it out in a way because you've done it for your own self-gain.
It's like JJ Watt spent 2 hours working out after practice. Great. Why do you need to tell me? Just do it. I don't care.
So The franchise tag, I'm not sure if the tag's been like confirmed to be done yet, but teams have basically started confirming who they are going to be tagging and who they aren't going to be tagging. In a matter of, so let's not go over every single team, we've got the ones that people are confirmed to be tagging. We'll just run through them all and then we'll make some comments on them. So the Broncos have franchise tagged safety Justin Simmons for the second year on the bounce. Washington have franchised Brandon Scherf, who's a fantastic guard, for the second year round. Jets have taken Marcus May, the safety. He was a damn good player for the Jets. And I mean, looking at the Jets, they actually are an exciting team going forward, especially with Robert Saleh. The Cowboys did an interesting, they've actually franchised tagged Dak. I'm not sure if you know this, but they've tagged him a second year round, but they won't be paying it so that they can't tag him a third time. That was part of the contract. It sounds confusing, but essentially he signed the tag. They're not going to be paying him for it. He's obviously got the contract. Panthers have tagged their right tackle Taylor Moten. The Bears, as we mentioned, have tagged Allen Robinson. The Bucks have tagged Chris Godwin. The Jags have tagged their left tackle Cam Robinson. Saints have got their safety Marcus Williams, and the Giants have got Leonard Williams. Biggest thing out of that is Allen Robinson and Chris Godwin being tagged, because it means the wide receiver market is now, there's a lot of mid-range ones like DeSean Jackson and Tyrell Williams and stuff like that, but the big name on the market is now a Juju and Kenny Golladay. And we've all got our opinions of Juju. Kenny Golladay is an outstanding receiver. He's going to be making a lot of money wherever he goes.
Yeah, definitely. Kenny Golladay, for me, is the better of the two, and he's gonna get a lot of money.
Yeah. It's a shame, really, in a way. You know, for when you support a team that needs wide receiver and options, it's a pain when some of them go. But Allen Robinson, I for some reason, I was under the impression that he really wanted out of Chicago. Am I wrong for thinking that? Yeah, I mean, there's nothing he can do. He's being held. But I thought he was potentially on his way out. So that's that one came as a shock, although it really, when you think about it logistically, wasn't a shock. But Godwin, that's a good one, because I know a lot of Bucks fans were concerned that he was going to be a free agent. So it's good that they got the tag on him.
Well, for the Bucks, it leaves the case now. There was three big names that they wanted to keep. It was Chris Godwin, who's now being tagged, Lavonte David, the linebacker, who has signed a two-year extension for $25 million. The third piece of the puzzle is Shaq Barrett, who was unbelievable last year. He's really shot up. I think he was undrafted, but he's been playing fantastically. There's a split view on, is he going to stay with the Bucks and keep chasing rings with Brady, or is he going to go and make that huge contract? And I think if he's smart, he's going to just go and make that money somewhere, because the league could stop for you at any point.
Yeah, as you say, it's one of those things again. What matters more to you? It's just one of those predicaments again.
But yeah, some of the other noticeable tags I saw: Leonard Williams for the Giants, just like Shaq on their D line. He pretty much centered that defense. He was an outstanding defensive lineman for them. Obviously, Brandon Scherf for Washington team, he's an unbelievable guard. They couldn't let go. But some defensive backs that I thought was interesting: Marcus May, Justin Simmons, Marcus Williams, especially for the Saints, who are, I mean, we'll break into who they're getting rid of soon, but they have been dumping as many people as they can at the moment.
The Saints are over their overdraft limit. They haven't got enough money to pay the fees. So the Saints at the minute, I read something today that as of, and we know they've been getting rid of players and restructuring, but I think it was as of yesterday, they didn't have enough cap space to sign the rookies from the draft. So they really are in trouble. And so it's a bit odd that they're signing someone to the franchise tag, which means that they have to pay him as one of the highest players of that position. So I find that one a bit odd.
So yeah, some of the players that they've released, they've released a couple of minor players like Nick Eason and all that. Jared Cook's a bit of a name that they've released. Emmanuel Sanders was released recently. He could be making a return to the Patriots. But yeah, to be fair, I can't remember what the owner's called, but he's an absolute wizard with the cap, and he's penny pinching everywhere he can. And like, he's making money off Drew Brees retiring. all this crazy stuff, but the Saints have got a long way to go. I think last time I saw them, they were on like 33 million, and that's even after doing all this restructuring business. Speaking of Emmanuel Sanders obviously playing for the Patriots, Joe, and the Patriots being in need of dire need of a receiver, some rumours that N'Keal Harry could be getting traded.
Honestly, get as much you can for him. I'm not too far. Physical attributes, insane. You know, he's a big, strong bloke, but he's just not. Yeah, he's not good enough, mate. He's a first round pick. So much hype behind him, but he's just done nothing in 2 years. And to be honest with you, I don't know what I'd take. It's a tough one. It's always a shame when you've got a first round pick and you get rid of him 2 years later. I'm not really too sure what he's going to get in the market. I'd even take a third or something, really, just sort of get him gone, because he just isn't quite what we expected. It's a shame. It's a real shame, because he was someone I would happily get behind. But
what do you think the Patriots need to do to become the Patriots of old again?
It's a long way. Yeah, that is number one. And no, mate, it's just get that O-line sorted. I think that's the first main thing. Quarterback, I think we can be efficient with not whoever, but certain quarterbacks that aren't going to give too many turnovers, as long as we get good pass rushers in the team. I mean, Hightower's going to come back this year, which is huge. That's an absolute game changer. Winovich really
didn't
improved
your rookie off so as well. Your first round rookie.
Was it Carl Duggar that was on? No, he played.
Wasn't there a guard or something?
What, that opted out? There was another.
Your team was the opt out.
We had a lot of players.
Your team was the opt out. Kings, what, 16 yeah. players?
Yeah. Exactly. So we're getting boys back, which is positive. But yeah, I just think it's those in the trenches. Just get those sorted. As long as we're comfortable there, then we can be efficient elsewhere. And yeah, you know, obviously trusting the coaching with everything. So that's the main thing for me. Quarterback would be nice to get someone exciting, but I don't necessarily think we need anyone exciting to be able to get back
up
there.
Who do you want to get? Of all the quarterbacks that are kind of not set in a team, who do you want?
We're talking realistic.
Yeah, you're not going to get Brady back, mate. Don't worry.
No. That's not what I'm saying. Obviously, unrealistic with people that want to go. Deshaun Watson obviously is number one on the list, but that's very unlikely. Just got that feeling it's unlikely. I would take Jimmy G back. I would. I know there's a lot of talk about it, and people are a bit, you know, bit sort of here and there with it, but I'd take him back. Brissett, I think Brissett would be worse than Jimmy G, quite clearly. So I wouldn't take him. But I wouldn't be disappointed if we got Garoppolo, and then if we went for another one in the draft. I think for me that would be quite a nice setup. Stidham, I think this is going to be it for him. This training camp's got to be huge. He's got to show something. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be the end. And I've got an odd feeling that if we don't get something sorted, Cam Newton is going to be walking back through that door as a starter. I don't know. Maybe backup. But yeah, I can have a feeling he's going to be there. So realistically, Jimmy G, I'd be happy with, as I said, someone that's fairly efficient and not too many mistakes in him. But yeah, just Sean Watson's the dream.
Would you be comfortable with Belichick selling the farm to move up in the draft and snag one of the top prospects?
Yeah, of course. I mean, if he feels as if that, you know, this whatever one he goes for is going to be a superstar, I'm going to trust him, even though his draft picks haven't been the most amazing. He's not had a high draft pick in God knows how
for the highest amount of years.
Yeah, exactly. So it would be nice to see him go for it, but that's just not his style, unfortunately. So it's going to be difficult to see that happening. But it would be great. A bit of excitement in the draft for once would be amazing.
I could definitely see. I mean, he had a very small sample with you guys, but Jimmy G did really well at the Patriots.
Yeah.
He did well at the 49ers. He took them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. People forget this. The Jimmy G slander, like, yeah, okay, he might be in the weak point, but he did drag a team. Not drag a team. Sorry, that's the wrong. He did get taken to a Super Bowl, and you know you've got to be half decent quarterback to make it. Blake Bortles can do it, so there we go.
I'd argue that you don't have to be a great quarterback to make the Super Bowl. What was I about to mention then regarding the Patriots? Was it regarding the Patriots? I can't remember, to be honest. No, I've just completely lost my train of thought. Okay. I'm sorry. News that has just recently come out. Fergal messaged me, very upset. The Chiefs have actually just released both their starting tackles, Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz. Eric Fisher being the first round pick in 2013, I think. But yeah, that's, I mean, we all saw the offensive line without those two get absolutely battered. Eric Fisher's coming off a ruptured Achilles and Mitchell Schwartz coming off back surgery. So yes, they are coming off injuries. They might not be the player you had, but it's brave going in with the two tackles now. Obviously they're going to be drafting someone, and the market right now is okay for tackles, but Patrick Mahomes could be getting a little worried there.
I think the Chiefs are smart enough. If they've done that, they've clearly got their eyes on something or something lined up. I feel there's an organization like that that's had so much success in recent years. They have an idea of what they're doing. So I would trust them if I was Chief fans.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust them. I think it's a bizarre thing to do because we saw what the backups were like. So it's not like they had instant replacements coming in because their O-line was terrible in the Super Bowl. It's a really strange one. I'd take Schwartz or Fisher onto the Raiders because obviously we need O-linemen because we were the first team to make it trendy to get rid of your O-line.
The only lineman remaining from the championship team is Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who opted out last year.
Mm-hmm.
So not great for them, but obviously I don't think you can really discount the Chiefs right now. I remember what I was going to say about the Patriots. You mentioned Hightower. A very surprising cut. The Dolphins have released Kyle Van Noy. He signed a 4-year, $51 million contract with them. It was seen as a bit of an overpay for him and a classic ex-Belichick coach signing a Belichick player. But, I mean, even Van Noy was like, he shows some surprise online that he's getting released. It's a bit of a shock because it just seems like he's going to go straight back to the Patriots and start rocking worlds again.
Let's hope so. It is odd because he seemed to be like the for the Dolphins, he was like one of the senior guys in that defense that was, you know,
he
so
didn't have
good.
A bad year.
No, he was decent. He had a good year, if anything. It just, it baffles me. There's a lot of surprise all around, really, from everyone, as you said, by Van Noy as well. So the Dolphins have clearly got a plan. What it is, no clue, but happy days. If he comes back to New England, I am not moaning. That's my favourite player back in the building.
There's a bit of a, I think, this is coming from me, who's suffered with terrible linebackers for years. There just doesn't seem to be many good linebackers on the market recently. I know the Raiders snagged a few last year and not all of them have panned out, but there really just isn't many good inside linebacker free agents or outside linebacker, sorry. But he's one of those players who very much commands the defense, no, very high football IQ. I think he's still going to be expensive, but lots of teams still have a decent amount of cap and he'd be a great pickup.
Yeah.
Speaking of defensive players with quite the impact, Malcolm Butler has been released from the Titans. So again, another move just kind of shedding cap. But I mean, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, he made a Super Bowl winning play. He's going to get snapped up by a team pretty fast, I imagine.
And also the Titans defense was terrible last year and they got rid of one of their better players. So.
Yeah, it's an odd one, isn't it? Again, I think he'll go somewhere and hopefully go for a team that has actually got a really good chance of winning something. As you know, he's a he's a great player. You showed seen what his benching him did in the Super Bowl. I hope he lands on his feet. Obviously, a bit of a Patriots hero, and I'm sure he will. I doubt that, you know, with the way things left off with Bill, I don't think he's going to be going anywhere near New England anytime. But yeah,
I mean, speaking of players that turn the defense around, Seahawks Miller last year, they traded for Carlos Dunlap from the Bengals, who was pretty unhappy with them. And then the Seahawks defense just got better straight away the minute they got Dunlap. He's not an unbelievable player, but he's a good D lineman, and he really helped secure that defense down the stretch, and obviously taking them into the playoffs. He's been released as well. Obviously, I think it was like a $14 million cap hit. So again, pretty heavy on that side. But the Seahawks are making interesting moves with obviously the Russell Wilson rumors swirling about as well. I honestly think going into next year, they could really have a different look.
I hope so. I mean, the Seahawks sort of came away from their strong defensive style and it's not worked as well for them. So I know they just got rid of Dunlap there, but if they're just trying to get sort of a new look and get fresh faces in, this could just be the start of it.
Is the Legion of Boom the best name for a defense of all time?
What was the Vikings
Purple
one?
People Eaters.
Purple People Eaters.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm trying to think of all of them. There's Gangrene for the Jets. Is it Monsters of Midway for the Bears?
Monsters of the Midway.
Purple Peel. Yeah.
It was the Orange Crush.
Who are the Orange Crush?
Denver.
That's quite funny, actually. did the Ravens have a name for their great defense? It's just called like the 0-0 Ravens, wasn't it? I'm trying to think what the Eagles were called when we had like Reggie White was the president of defense,
minister
of defense. That was class. But yeah, Legion of Boom could definitely be up there. I'm just racking my brain for all the names of defenses now. A release that's probably quite close to the hearts of everyone across the league is Alex Smith from the Washington team. I think it might have been a request because he wants to go and start for a team. But yeah, the comeback player of the year carries on. I think he could definitely take a place as a mentor and kind of like a Ryan Fitzpatrick. What's the bloke that started for us again? Josh McCown, like a very much of a mentor role, but can definitely step in as a serviceable backup. So he could be quite desirable for some teams, I think, even the Eagles, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, anywhere with a young quarterback that needs just a bit of help through would be perfect for him. He's an inspirational bloke, as we know. So he's got all the qualities that are needed for that.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Sam Darnold. I always think he gets so many opportunities but he's played 2-3 years now. He kind of gets the benefit of a doubt in so many cases because, I mean, mainly he had Adam Gase as a head coach, which is fair. But as I mentioned before, the Jets could look quite exciting going forward. They've got Robert Saleh, who I know we're all a fan of. But out for you guys, do you think they keep with Darnold for another year? Obviously, they've got a very high draft position, second. Obviously missing out on the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. Do they trade? I mean, we'll cover it in draft episodes going forward as well, but do they trade down? Do they take a quarterback in the second round? Do they keep rolling with Darnold and get a veteran quarterback behind him? What do you think, Joe, for your favourite team?
So this is not me wishing ill on them. This is what I think they should do. I think realistically they should try Darnold for another year. I think, you know, he was a good quarterback in college. He was highly touted in the draft. He's clearly got the qualities there. He just had, I'm a big believer that he had Adam Gase, and that's a big reason why he didn't perform. And I think it'd be in a way harsh just to get rid of him with only using one coach that obviously wasn't very good.
Peyton Manning's coach you're talking about.
Sorry. But obviously it doesn't work for Sam Darnold, who's a better player. So when it comes to this, I would trade down maybe. I would seek to find the places which they need to improve on. I believe O-line being one of them again. I know they drafted someone last year, but that quite clearly needed improving again. Their defense, just anything in there, really. Just look at the teams that are looking for a quarterback and just get the best deal you can. Just try and play a bit of chicken and just be like, oh, no, we ain't going to draft out. Just be like, what was that? 2 seconds? Nah.
They need to be putting out as many rumors as possible that they're taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
They just need to keep playing. They just need to playing. But they could move down to like 7, 8 and still pick up someone very good in the position that they need and just slap up all the teams that need quarterbacks. That would be my preference. I would be quite, disappointed if the Jets just took Justin Fields second. I think they could do a lot more with that position.
I hope they trade down. I want 4 quarterbacks. First 4 in the draft, because then we have a better chance of getting Jamar Chase. And I'm going to be so upset if we don't get Jamar Chase. Talking about good receivers, the Bills, I thought this was a bit surprising, especially when I've had this guy in fantasy for about 2 or 3 years running. John Brown, a very good wide receiver too, especially when obviously he's playing behind Stephon Diggs. He was a bit injured last season, but whenever he's had to step up, he's a damn good receiver. He's just really good, and that could be another name to add to the highly desirable wide receivers going this year. And I think we're going to see a lot of the top end receivers making a lot of money now that some of them are getting tagged and re-signed and things like that. Another surprise from one I've just found here: Kevin Zeitler. I'm not sure if you guys follow the Giants too closely. Obviously, I do with them and being the East. Their offensive line was pretty trash last year. I think bottom 5. Kevin Zeitler was by far the best player on that offensive line as well. Obviously, once, who's the head coach? It's not Joe Judge, is it? Matt Rhule? No, that's Panthers.
Matt Rhule?
It's Joe Judge. Okay. He did, there's a story of him kind of just firing the O-line coach and doing it himself, and they start to get a lot better, which is a badass story. But yeah, Kevin Zeitler, he came from the Browns. He's a good guard. It's an interesting move. A lot of the Giants fans online are kind of questioning it because Danny Jones needs an offensive line.
There's a lot of good offensive linemen out there if you need it in free agency.
It is. It's compared to last year, where I think it was like 2 tackles. Mm-hmm. The offensive line market's a lot bigger this year.
They're all flying from west to east.
Okay. On that note, I've been following the Colts very closely for obvious reasons. And Chris Ballard, the general manager for them, he's absolutely nailed it because he's got so much cap space to, and people are still thinking he's not going to sign that many just because of his reputation of maybe taking 1 or 2 a year, but man, teams like them and the Jags, they could lap up so many high talented players for 1 or 2 year kind of prove it deals. And especially the Colts, who are a playoff team. And if Wentz performs, they could definitely make a push to the Super Bowl. If they can get a couple of 1 year kind of mercenary deals with some really big names, they could absolutely blow the doors off. I mean, even look on the defensive side, there's names like Jadeveon Clowney, Shaq Barrett, as you mentioned, like, there are some big names coming. I know they're a big fan of zone defense as well. Patrick Peterson, who's not the athletic guy he once was, he'd be a fantastic leader to put on that defense. You've already got some very capable people on. But yes, I think this offseason is by far going to be the most interesting in just the difference it is compared to the previous years of, oh, everyone's got a little bit more cap. Everyone can sign a few more players. And now it's like, okay, if you're in a good position, you're in a great position. If you're in a bad position, you're in a really shit position.
Yeah, nail on the head, mate. That is pretty much how the offseason is going to go.
Hey, we are slowly getting through these. Next one is an ex-Raider, Tyrell Tyrell Williams. 1 year, 6.2 mil for the Detroit Lions. How do you feel about that, Tim?
Never seen him play. Didn't play for us. Got injured. He played a couple of games. He was really good. He's a good player. Bad luck with injuries. We owed him a lot of money. So we got rid of him. I was reading something as well that we didn't sign Khalil Mack because we didn't think we could afford it. But all the money we gave to Trent Brown, Marcus Joyner, Terrell Williams, and the other one I can't remember, we could have kept
LaMarcus Khalil Joyner? Mack.
Yeah.
Damn, I read too much. I've just had taken a look there for all the new head coaches for this year. I'm just going to go through. I want you two to let me know which coach is going to have the biggest impacts on the team, regardless of whether they were a really crap team and they're now going to make the playoffs. Which coach is going to be the biggest improvement? Jags, we've got Urban Meyer. Jets got Robert Saleh. Chargers got Brandon Staley from the Rams. Falcons got Arthur Smith. He was the Bills OC. Detroit Lions got Dan Campbell from the Saints. Houston Texans got David Culley. Don't know where he came from, I think, internally. And the Eagles got Nick Sirianni. Joe, who do you think is going to make the biggest improvement to the team, regardless of where they were?
The biggest improvement. I am going to go for... I'm going to go for Saleh. I just think... it's one of those where I think... any coach could go in and improve it. But I think he, with the way he is and how passionate of a coach he is, he ran a great defense in San Francisco. He's just, he just seems like that guy, and he looks like that guy as well. I mean, this is all I'm going off is his defensive capabilities, the way he looks, and his passion. But for me, I think that's enough. I think it's a massive improvement. And as we mentioned, they got a good draft pick, and that, you know, they haven't got awful players on that team, that they can do something, and I think they will make a massive improvement this year.
How about you, Tim?
I think the same. I think Robert Saleh. It was a very odd round of coaching hires. You got Robert Saleh. Yeah, his name's been bandied about for years. That's great. Brandon Staley, he was only a coordinator for 1 year. Arthur Smith, okay, he had a good reputation as a coordinator. Dan Campbell, Dave Culley, Nick Sirianni were kind of out of the blue. And Urban Meyer, he's a good college coach, but I don't think he's going to work. He's one of those college coaches that he's just going to upset too many people. I don't think he's going to last very long.
Well,
just an odd round.
If the question is who's going to improve their team from last year to this year, my money would be on either Urban Meyer or Arthur Smith. Because I think, yeah, Robert Saleh's probably the best head coaching candidate there. But the Jets have got the quarterback issue. The Jags are going to be taking Trevor Lawrence, and they've just got to improve on a one-win season. And Arthur Smith, I think he's going into a team a bit like Brandon Staley. He's going into a team that's got the things you need, maybe filling a couple of holes. But, I mean, going into the Falcons, you're getting Matt Ryan, you're getting Julio Jones, you're getting Calvin Ridley. Like, you get to step into that offense. It's like passing your driver's test and stepping into a Lamborghini.
Is there any doubt that David Culley is going to be a one-hit wonder? He's only going to last one season, I reckon, especially if they lose to Deshaun Watson.
I feel so bad for Texans fans.
So David Culley, I'm just looking up now who he was. He was the wide receivers coach and passing game coordinator for the Ravens.
Ah, okay. The team that has the best rushing offense.
Doesn't pass very much, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've had Texan fan on Mark before, my mate from the team. It's a hard team to root for right now. I mean, from what I'm hearing, obviously, there was the whole, oh, Deshaun Watson's leaving. He's gone. Apparently, he's not going to go. I can actually see the Texans being so stubborn that they just keep him for 5 years, even if he doesn't play, because I don't think the city of Houston can take it anymore. They've lost JJ Watt. They lost James Harden in the NBA. The Houston Astros are in the cheating scandal for the MLB. Like, God, that city sports are not having a good time right now. So, yeah, I'd probably say Arthur Smith, just because the division they're in, Saints are potentially going to step down a bit with obviously their entire situation with Drew Brees. The Panthers could very well be good next year. I know they restructured C-Mac's contract, and what they do at quarterback's a bit up in the air. Saying that, they're also in the division with the Super Bowl winners and Brady. So it's going to be a struggle for the Falcons to be better than everyone else in that division. I just think that... it's a hard question. I'm going to say Urban Meyer just because I think he's stepping into an offense with the quarterback that he really wants to play with, and only direction the Jags can go is up. Right. Speaking of the Saints, they actually released their punter after 12 years. He's been one of the best punters for 12 years. That really shows how deep they are digging to get under that cap. And the final release we've got here is a surprising one. Again, he's someone I had in fantasy most years, Kyle Rudolph. He's made a little bit of noise saying like he doesn't want to play for the Vikings if he's not going to be the go-to guy. So there's a lot of rumors of him going to the Browns. He's a great blocking tight end. And as we saw in the 2 years ago championships, I think.
Wildcard,
yeah. He took, knocked the Saints out with a slightly suspect touchdown grab. But yeah, I can...
Bit of a push.
Especially with the Browns potentially using David Njoku, I think they definitely pick up Kyle Rudolph. He's familiar with Kevin Stefanski as well.
Yeah, I had him on fantasy last year and his numbers were like low, very, very low. I don't think he was getting anywhere near as much of the ball as he has done in previous years. So fair play to him. You know, if he wants to play a lot more and have a bigger role, then fair enough.
And final bit of news, also a tight end. Big man Greg Olsen has finally retired. And I'm sure he will be stepping into I think he's actually already signed a contract with someone, but I'm sure him and Drew Brees will be stepping into an announcer's booth very soon.
Yeah, good guy.
So yeah, I mean, unless there's been any breaking news, which I'm not going to check because I'm giving you my full and undivided attention, I don't think there's any other news.
No. That is like a crazy amount of news for 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like it's like we sort of go to sleep for a little bit, and that's what we come back with. That is a lot.
What do you think out of everything we've said there? What do you think is gonna which trade or addition is or extension is gonna have the biggest impact on the relevant team?
I honestly think JJ Watt could be massive. I know it's the obvious go-to one, but I think if that plays off really well, the Cardinals, I was saying earlier that I don't think they'll be a serious contender, but I think they can make big strides in their division if he really does turn up and stays fit.
Yeah, he's got the highest ceiling probably out of everything. Same could be argued if the Colts can fix Wentz, but they're already a contender, so I don't think it's going to be the step from the biggest improvement. I think he's just going to push them over the top if he lives up to what they want him to be. Yeah, that's all the roster updates that we're going to cover today. Let's talk a bit about what we discussed last week and moving forward. So for people that don't know, there's a new league in Europe being, I think it's been created, but it's still in the business of being finalized. It's called ELF, which is just a great acronym. The European League of Football. It's essentially stepping into the shoes of NFL International. I think they're keeping two of the team names, Frankfurt Galaxy and I'm not sure the name. Tim, do you know a bit more all about this?
Yes, so it's the Frankfurt Galaxy and the Hamburg Sea Dogs, two of the teams from the old league that people remember. So it's a European-based league. There's franchises in Berlin, Frankfurt is mentioned, Hamburg mentioned, Hanover, Ingolstadt, Stuttgart, I'm not reading this, and also Poland's Wrocław Panthers. No team, apparently it was going to be a team in Barcelona as well. So it's still in the planning stage at the moment, which is a bit odd considering they're saying they're going to start playing in June 2021. So, you know, I know there's a lot of European players are going to start playing in that league. So I think it's been planned for a while. So it'll be quite good, I think. Have more, and they've also got the backing of the NFL now as well, I think.
And I think they're taking a step, like from when the NFL International was basically get like some American players and some European players and let them play. Obviously, Kurt Warner being a very famous name. This is going to be a lot more about having European players play. There's maybe going to be a few Americans there, but it's going to focus on really growing the sport across Europe again. Obviously, Me and Joe weren't around, but you felt the impact of NFL International. So did Craig. I think this, I mean, our friend of the show, Cadell, he's going to be having a good chance of playing in there. So it's definitely something to follow if you're looking for new leagues to get interested into. And obviously, we all might be getting a nice German team to support.
Yeah, what would be nice as well is if it was a similar, you know how in the NBA you've got Real Madrid, like Galatasaray, Fenerbahce, and like all the football teams that are basketball teams, and they draft, you know, like Luka Doncic was high up in the draft. He was playing in Europe. It'd be nice if it sort of came to a star like that in the end. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. If the NFL could have anywhere near the success of bringing European players over like the NBA does, but it's different though, because obviously basketball is played all over the world. I mean, you look at the NBA, you've got players from Africa, you've got players from Europe, you've got players from Australia come in. In the NFL, I think you can count the number of international players on 2 hands.
Yeah. Obviously, the NFL is trying to get players, to international players with the developments and academies and things like that. But there's not really been that many huge success stories of people who've been developed from through the process, if you like. You've got like Effie Abada and people like that. But yeah, it'd be great if there's a whole European league to develop players.
I was reading an article on it, and that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping to make stars out of European players so that when kids are growing up and wherever they are, they can go, oh yeah, I want to be just like Joe Bloggs over there. He grew up in whatever, Frankfurt, and he became an NFL star. That's how you're going to get young kids playing the game and starting to grow the base of fans from a younger age. If you've got those local superstars that are playing the NFL that you get a follow, because, I mean, I know there's plenty of, like Joe said with the NBA, there's so many big Serbian fans now just because there's a really decent amount of Serbian players over in the league now.
So do we think that the European Football League is going to have any effect on the UK Football League, the semi-pro league that was being discussed?
As far as we're aware, Elf's not going to have any British teams, are they?
Which is a shame. But
what would you do, though, if you were like Cadell? Do you think their level of competition and the level of organisation is going to be better in the European Football League rather than the UK?
I think Elf's going to have the higher level of competition because it's a larger...
So I think British players that the UKFL was thinking were going to go to their teams will probably go to Europe instead. So I think this is going to have a negative effect on the UKFL. And we're going to have two of the guys from UKFL on a future podcast. We're talking at the moment to get them on to explain what UKFL is. The details are a little bit scarce at the moment, if you like. There is a website for UKFL. It's going to be a semi-pro league in Britain with British teams. So we want to get the guys on so they can explain what their plans are for the league, how they're going to finance it, where they're going to play, where the teams are going to be. So we'll be doing that in the next few weeks or months.
Well, you hope that, obviously, if you look at it, yeah, a European league's obviously going to have a better level of player than a team focused on just the UK. But you'd hope that it would become people start watching the European football and go, wow, look at these cool games that should be getting televised. I'm going to get into the sport, whether that's going through college, whether that's going through joining your local team, whether that's joining a youth team. And then move on, because right now, the only way to get into an international league is either you start playing at university and hope that you're good enough to use, I think it's europlayers.com, where you can essentially create a profile for yourself and see if teams want to pick you up. Or you go and start a team like the London Blitz or the Merseyside Nighthawks or whatever. This is just going to add another opportunity for people to watch the sport and people to get into the sport, have more local teams to support, and then obviously hopefully develop to a point where we are getting more players in the European and the NFL eventually.
I did also see yesterday that the CFL, the Canadian Football League, and the XFL, who are now owned by the aforementioned Rock, talking about some sort of partnership, whether that's merging or what, I don't know.
The CFL and the XFL. CFL's, I mean, obviously Canada's biggest league, so that could be very interesting.
Yeah.
They've got different rules. Don't forget, the CFL only has three downs.
Yeah, but the XFL.
Oh,
yeah.
The XFL going to change to a three-down game? Or
was it? Who was talking about Marshawn Lynch's football league?
That was me.
That still kind of blows my mind.
It's, if anyone's ever seen arena football, it's very similar to arena football. The field's only 50 yards long, but there are changes. My favourite one is instead of a coin toss, they have a game of rock, paper, scissors at the start of the game. The funniest thing is two-point conversions. Two-point conversions, you have the quarterback and you have a wide receiver and a cornerback. And you just try and get the ball to the wide receiver. But there's no snap. There's a guy on a stool who just basically flips the ball onto the quarterback. It's hilarious. It's quite entertaining because obviously they've got Johnny Manziel and Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon did his debut the other day and he got like four touchdowns.
Oh, is it actually active now?
So, yeah. All the games are on YouTube. They're streamed live on Twitch if you stay up in the middle of the night. So I think it's free to watch them as well.
If you follow the game and you are calling the right plays and stuff, you eventually get to call own plays.
Yeah, so it's called Fan Controlled Football League. So there are no team rosters as such. The teams are drafted each week by the fans. So a player could be playing for one team this week and another team next week. I think they franchise certain, like the quarterbacks all stay on the same teams. But there's an app where you play along with the game and you can end up, if you've got enough points, choosing the plays and something like that. And the commentator's like, this play is chose by Joe Kirkpatrick. Something like that, yeah. So it's quite entertaining.
I'm about to get on that, you know. final bit of news from our end. We have got a draft countdown coming up. So we are going to start on the 21st of March. And on every bit of social media we're putting out polls for each pick every day. So 21st we'll do the first overall pick and give the four top options of who's most likely. And then we'll go through every single pick per day. By the time we're a week before the draft, we'll have our mate Ollie on to help us kind of analyse all the draft stuff. He's a professional. But we'll be able to compare it to the Tafts, I guess, Taft's listeners draft and see how that pans out.
Yep. So the choices are completely up to you. There's no rules. We'll give you the four consensus top picks for who people think will go in that position. But then you can comment if you think another player should go, and then we'll just pick the player with the most votes. And that's the pick. That's the draft. And we'll do it like a normal draft. We'll
send it to Roger Goodell and make sure that's the order it goes.
Yeah, that's very good.
But yeah, boys, anything else you want to do before we sign off? Fantastic.
My brain's a bit fried, if I'm totally honest with you.
You are, sorry.
So my brain's a bit fried.
I know, yeah. I'm totally honest with you. That's
a break. Practice.
Yeah.
You can check us out on our website. Do you want to give them that, Tim?
Yep, it's batamericanfootballshow.com. We'll have another article from Josh going up tomorrow.
You can also catch us on all our social medias where we'll be running these draft polls. Could you let us know where they are, Joe?
Yep, our Twitter and Instagram is at TAFS_UK, and our Facebook is just That American Football Show. Type it in, and you should also be able to find our Facebook group, which is just NFL fans. Like, if you're a listener to the show, you just like football, or even if you create your own content, put it in that group. Like, you know, we all share and take a read and watch each other's. So yeah, go for that.
And also, wherever you're listening from, if you're listening from outside the UK or in the UK, let us know where you're listening from. We're going to do a big map and we're going to have that as a background in future podcasts, especially when we're on the YouTube show. And wherever you are, we can put a sticker on the map and we can see where everyone's listening. Yes. If you're listening abroad, we'll speak to you in your language. I'll learn how to speak whatever language the furthest person away is.
And on that note as well, please do leave us feedback, even if it's not 5-star, which would be appreciated. Leave us feedback on what you want us to talk about. Leave us feedback on how we're doing and how long you've been listening for. And like Tim said, where you're listening from. Make sure you also head over to our friends at Lockdown Lids. Currently got a Joe Burrow helmet and a Chase Claypool helmet, both minis. I know I've entered the Joe Burrow one because I do like the LSU kit. But thank you everyone for listening. Make sure you head over and check out our friends at EP Sports for all your NFL or equipment needs. Thanks for listening again. Look forward to doing this whole off season, and we'll see you all next week.
Let's win, baby.